We're nearing the end of the school year, and that means some significant events for students in the School of Music at Western Michigan University. Earlier this week, we talked to Dr. Scott Borma about the Spring Conference on Wind and Percussion Music, which was held yesterday. And on Sunday at 3 o'clock, the 59th annual concerto concert will be held, featuring three student competition soloists, winners of the competition. Two soloists are here with me this morning on WMUK. I'd like to welcome trombonist Will Ford and percussionist, marimba soloist Evan Leffert. Nice to have you here.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Thanks for coming in. I know you've got a lot to prepare for Sunday's concert, but I'm so glad you could preview it with me. This concert will be conducted by Bruce Uchimura and the University Symphony Orchestra, of course, will be showcased in a few pieces on their own, including Giuseppe Verdi's overture to the Force of Destiny, La Forza del Destino, and the tone poem Till Eulenspiegel by Richard Strauss. But also on the program, three solo concertos, beginning with Will Ford's showcase. This is the Concerto for Trombone and Orchestra by Henri Tomasi. I need to get to know you first, Will. What year are you in at Western?
I'm a second-year graduate student.
So you will be earning your master's degree just very shortly here.
Hopefully in about a week, yeah.
Okay. What led you to Western as a school? I know Steve Wolfenbarger is a big draw for a lot of musicians.
Yeah, Dr. Wolfenbarger's great. His reputation in the trombone community is stellar. And in my undergrad, I was friends with a student that was a couple years older than me who ended up coming to do his master's here as well. So his influence, as well as Dr. Wolfenbarger's reputation, really kind of drew me to Western.
And Evan, I think Judy Moonert, you could say the same thing. She's kind of a legend here at Western, too.
Yeah. I got to know her my senior year doing some of Western's like high school outreach programs, and she definitely was a big influence on me in the past 4 years. So it was really fortunate to aside from just WMU's music program in general, she was one of the bigger draws to being here and one of the bigger benefits.
In this program, I mean, percussion to me is—it's a complicated subject. It's not like trombone because while there's a few kinds of trombones, it's not like you learn an array of percussion. There's melodic percussion. There's many different kinds.
Yeah.
Do you have to choose early on, or do you kind of go the smorgasbord when you come to undergrad?
It's actually designed in a way where we have to cover everything. So, for instance, like a common track that a lot of people will go on if they're, you know, if they have generally a particular level of skills going into university, they'll start with either focusing on marimba technique or snare drum technique, and then move to a solo on one of the two instruments, then a session or like a period of time on timpani, and then multi-percussion. And if there's time left after that, that's when the student starts to like experiment a little bit. But usually it's kind of like that sort of track. Like I had a little bit of extra time at the end, so I didn't do as much snare drumming, but I did a lot more multi-percussion and a lot more keyboard playing. But it really just depends on the player and what applications they're going to be doing.
And both of you started preparing for the Western Michigan University concerto competition, probably last fall, if not before, working on these soloist pieces with your professors. And I guess I would, since it's first on the program, I would ask you about Henri Tomasi and who he was and what kind of challenge he created for a trombonist playing his concerto.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a French composer. He studied at the Conservatoire de Paris for most of his schooling. Most of his trombone concerto is these sweeping melodies, kind of extending the range of the instrument, especially in the high range. The second movement especially features a lot of that. But the most significant aspect of this concerto is the jazz influence that he utilizes. Tommy Dorsey, I'm Getting Sentimental Over You, the main theme from that is actually the main theme almost verbatim in the first movement. So a lot of people think that he was heavily influenced by the American jazz scene and Tommy Dorsey's trombone playing specifically.
How charming. So this was mid-50s.
Yes. Right? Yeah, 56, I believe.
Okay. Interesting time in classical music with the very strong influence of atonal and serialist music, but pop music coming along like gangbusters and, of course, jazz too. So you really can't always predict what's going to happen in a composition from that era. Will, tell me about preparing for the piece. What went into it?
Yeah. Well, I have my undergrad in jazz studies, actually. It's a performance-based degree with compositional and arranging sides as well. And then my master's is actually in classical performance. So I think having that background in my undergrad really helped me prepare for this piece specifically, just because of how jazz influenced it is. I think it gives me a unique twist on some of the things. There's a lot of rubato sections in the two movements, so the first two movements, I think allows me as a jazz player to kind of express myself a little bit more so than a just, you know, classically trained trombonist.
Could you go back even further? Like, why you picked up trombone? And
yeah, I mean,
like, somebody in your family must have loved jazz if you...
Well, my grandfather loved jazz, but my dad actually played trombone. He was in the University of Virginia pep band. Both my parents played musical instruments, and the trombone was just sitting in the garage, and I kept bugging him to play it. So, like, fifth or sixth grade, I signed up for trombone, and it kind of stuck since.
Wow. That's really great. And you'll soon have your master's degree in hand.
Yep.
You said you were looking at doctorate schools. How's the search going?
Great. Actually, I went and committed to Louisiana State University for next fall, studying with Western trombone graduate Hannah Bilek-Lovitz. She was a 2011 graduate, I believe.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's going to be really fun. Access to... the French Quarter.
Yeah, a lot of teaching, a lot of jazz,
yeah.
Just a lot of great opportunities there, I think. I'm really excited to get out of the snow, too.
Well, congratulations. That's might bring a celebratory feel to your performance on Sunday at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. If you just tuned in, my guest is Will Ford, along with Evan Leffert and Andrew Keating, the three soloists appearing on the concerto concert on Sunday in Miller Auditorium with the University Symphony Orchestra. Let's listen to a little of the Tomasi. You recommended a recording by, a top trombonist.
Jürgen van Rijgen. Yes.
Jürgen van Rijgen.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. We'll hear at least a few minutes of the beginning. We're listening to music of Henri Tomasi, his concerto for trombone and orchestra. That's the opening of this concerto, one of three, which will be featured on Sunday's 59th annual concerto concert at Western Michigan University, held in Miller Auditorium. And I have the three concerto soloists here in the studio at WMUK. They are trombonist Will Ford, who will be playing this Tomasi trombone concerto in full, as well as alto saxophonist Andrew Keating and Evan Leffert, who will present a rare marimba concerto. And I think we'll be listening to a little bit of that in a few minutes. But I'd like to welcome our third soloist to the studio. Andrew, nice to have you here. And would you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, sure.
As a player and where you came from?
I come from the east side of the state in Ortonville, Michigan. Okay. It's kind of in the Pontiac area, Auburn Hills. And that's when I started playing saxophone in middle school. So I did that for all through middle school, all through high school, and then that's when I came to WMU and started studying music here, and now I'm in my second year.
Did you try any other instruments at the time or learn any other?
Yeah, things? I play flute okay also. I started studying flute my last 2 years in high school, so my junior and senior year. And then I also studied a little bit with grad students here.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, that would be my secondary instrument.
That's a useful skill to have if you are a doubler or play jazz, right? Because you can do...
Yeah, and plus it's just like the fingering, the switches between the fingerings isn't that bad, so it's a really good secondary instrument to do.
Was your focus on the classical style or classical training?
For the most part, I would say that especially like learning the saxophone, I was very classically trained. And then I think now, especially because I study with Rathbun, it's a little bit different because he's more of a jazz player. And I think that I take a little bit of influence from that stuff too now.
Sure.
So it's definitely, I think my playing's changed a lot in the past couple of years.
Have you seen any new directions after coming to Western? It's only been 2 years.
Yeah, but... yeah. Actually, I'm in the Multimedia Arts Technology program, too, so I started studying music technology and working with electronic music and stuff like that, but that's still something I'm pretty new at, so got a ways to go with that still.
Tell me about the audition that took you to today, which is, the day before appear as a soloist.
I felt good about it, honestly. At the auditions, I felt like, especially by the, because there's a preliminary round and then there's a final round. By the final round, I felt like I was just comfortable with the piece. I had a lot of fun with it, I felt like. The preliminary round was more, like, technical and just focused on playing the music, but I feel like I'm able to have a lot more fun with it now.
What is the piece you're playing?
Henry Tomasi's Ballad for alto saxophone and orchestra.
Okay, so we just listened to a concerto for trombone by Tomasi.
Right, yeah.
What are we going to hear? Something similar?
It's a little different. It's a lot more like traditional stuff. I know that I think it was one of the easier ones for the orchestra to do, I think. I think compared to the other two, it was a little more straightforward and it more like of something you would expect.
Did you have any siblings or parents that played music in the house?
Yes. My mom was actually a flute player. She played through high school, and then she did it 1 year of music school, but she didn't end up staying for music. So, I mean, there is some music in my family, but no, like, professional musicians.
Wow. Well, it's going to be exciting to hear you on Sunday. Right now, I'd like to return to Evan, our marimba soloist here, and get to know a little bit about Keiko Abe, who wrote The Prism Rhapsody. This is a piece you're playing. Keiko Abe is a major figure, right, in the marimba?
Yeah, she's a very, very famous marimba soloist and composer as well. And most of her repertoire is still played constantly to this day. And actually, she was Her whole story is interesting because she actually graduated as a music education major from one of the major music schools in Tokyo and then started to take on a lot of premieres from other composers as Japan was like commissioning more marimba music. And in general, the marimba was becoming kind of like a vehicle for modern music. So she was one of the people who helped push that. And her pieces were... the pieces she wrote were all driven by improvisation, and then she would kind of restructure them notate them and distribute them. And this Prism Rhapsody is the same way. It was based on a marimba solo that she wrote, which was also an improvisation. She took the ideas, expanded them into orchestral ideas, and then created a concerto out of it.
When you say improvisation, some of us might think like of jazz improvisation. Mm-hmm. She's Japanese, right?
Yep, she's Japanese. She played, her improvisations were a bit more like classically oriented. She like, her music has a lot of Western harmonic influence in terms of classical music and romanticism. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of Japanese traditional styles in there, like the particular way that she voices melodies or the melodies that she uses, there's still like a very clear Japanese influence present.
Evan, I'm hearing a lot of knowledge in how music is put together in your answers. Did you mention that you have composition as another focus? Because you could just sort of tell when you're breaking it all down and explaining it.
Composition was something that I wasn't sure if I would do, and then some professors earlier on when I was a freshman and sophomore encouraged me to try it. And actually, I started as an education major and then switched to performance and composition my junior year. And so, like, I kind of have been trying to do both as much as possible, I guess.
You are graduating as a senior, undergraduate mm-hmm. degree this spring?
I'll actually be graduating in the fall.
In the fall.
Yeah, I just have a couple more loose ends to finish up, and then I'll be all set.
May I ask what your thoughts are for going on in education or trying something new? Or
I'm going to be taking a bit of time to apply to grad schools, but since I'll be done with university in the fall, I'm going to spend some time just... My big goal this next year is to... What I care a lot about, and actually, like, this is something that I respected a lot about Keiko, was caring a lot about the composer-performer relationship. And so my focus right now is to start working on commissioning more pieces for performers that I know and respect, but then also trying to play pieces for composers that I care about and try to focus on, because a lot of our repertoire right now is built on traditions and wonderful pieces, but a lot of them are we don't interact with the composer. Like, I don't interact with Keiko by playing this piece, and that's fine enough, and it's beautiful music, but it's also really important to me to build that relationship. So that's going to be something that I'm going to be focusing on for the next year or so, and also in graduate school.
Are there any examples out there? I know there are composing collectives, for example, that you're thinking of as an example of what you're describing, like Bang on a Can.
Yeah, Bang on a Can is a wonderful example. Wet Ink is wonderful.
They all write for each other.
Yeah, Dal Niente Collective is the same way. Like, the performers and composers are all really, really connected, and everyone knows each other in those situations. And
strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of like. There's a lot of thinking about who you're writing for and then making a piece based on that person, which I feel has a lot more individuality and makes for a really engaging piece.
Well, the Prism Rhapsody, you said, is based on her own solo piece, which itself grew out of some improvisations. How long is the work, and what's the basic shape?
Of the orchestral piece?
Of the piece you're playing on Sunday, the Prism.
The Prism Rhapsody itself, it ranges, depending on how you take the tempos, ranges from like 15 to 18 minutes.
Substantial. Yeah,
it's a substantial work. I'm sorry, could you repeat the second question?
The general shape, like, I'm like,
oh, the shape.
Is it quiet, yeah. Loud, quiet, or you know, something?
It's pretty segmented. And so it's reflective of a lot of Keiko's music. Is you have a lot of idea. It's almost Stravinskyan in a way, where there's a lot of clear ideas that all have their own place, but then they're connected by like little small things, and it's almost like a collection of distinct ideas to create one composite whole. So the piece has like this really aggressive, dissonant introduction into this kind of freeform section where I'm actually improvising over the orchestra. So I'm not even, I have a suggested part, and I usually play something framed around that. But like for the most part, I'm playing very freeform stuff, and they're playing like it's very open. There's like a couple gestures here and there, but the orchestra's just kind of following along. And then there's like, she basically jumps around to like this other kind of style, but then starts to introduce the ending material, then moves to a good, then, like it's like I said about the segmented thing of like going through a bunch of different ideas, and where
that's a good definition of rhapsody too.
Yeah.
You're allowed to take moments and string them together.
Yeah. And like that little moment goes to a cadenza, which is, and like everything is built to actually kind of interrupt each other. And in a way, that's how the piece moves forward, is these collections of interruptions that like move to a new place until we get to the ending, which is just a high energy, like push all the way to the end.
My guest is Evan Leffert, who will be the soloist in Keiko Abe's Prism Rhapsody for Marimba and Orchestra, a work from 1996. And the performance is Sunday at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. Two other soloists, Will Ford, trombone, and Andrew Keating, alto saxophone, are featured, as well as some showcases for the orchestra, a Verdi overture, and the Strauss tone poem, all on the program. It's free at 3 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. What little section did you pick out here for us to listen to from the Prism Rhapsody?
I chose the ending section. It's a very fun. We kind of, me and Judy kind of call it like a freight train. It's really energetic music.
Let's give it a hear. Prism Rhapsody by Keiko Abe. Wow, what a terrific performance this will be. We heard just the last 3 minutes of the piece, and in the studio here I have Sunday's performer, Evan Leffert, who is a senior at Western Michigan University and a winner of the concerto competition at Western, along with alto saxophonist Andrew Keating and trombonist Will Ford. Will is up first in the program after the overture, and he'll be playing the Tomasi Concerto for Trombone, which we listened to a little bit earlier. It's a fantastic piece as well. And after the Abe comes another piece by Henri Tomasi, as Andrew was saying. This ballade is the same composer, but there's some significant differences to it.
Yes, it's definitely a very different piece. It kind of... it's very romantic, though. It's a very romantic piece, and it has a lot of, like, even I would say, like, almost, like, theatrical, like, inspirations in it. It's, the inspiration for the piece was Henri Tomasi's wife, actually. She wrote a poem, and Henri Tomasi, he made a piece out of it for alto saxophone and orchestra, and it's basically, like, between, like, sad clown and, like, happy clown. Like, he's, it's like a very like lyrical, sad melodies, and then it's like supposed to be like the clowns like entertaining the public, and it's like this fast, frantic stuff. So it's on, in a way, it's like very theatrical almost.
I was starting to frame a question to ask you about the difficulty of, you know, being stuck between worlds as a saxophonist, blah, blah, blah. You know, how are you even going to be a classical saxophonist? And then I interrupted my own thought by realizing just in the last couple semesters, we've seen both the Capitol Quartet and the Prism Quartet, both saxophone ensembles stop through, and they are some of the most dynamic, exciting.
Yeah, they're some of the best quartets in the world.
Yeah. So you got to rub elbows with these performers.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was really
inspiring. Yeah, it was a great experience. I got to work with both quartets pretty extensively, actually. I work with a studio quartet with Dr. Rathbun, and we were able to work with Prism and Capitol with that.
Yeah. Did it make a difference in how the quartet sounded?
Definitely, yeah. They had some really good insight for us.
It's hard to hear the whole when you're stuck right in the middle of it. It's right. There's no way to get the big picture sometimes. So that insight is valuable.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really grateful that I got the chance to work with both of them. I mean, they're some of the top quartets in the world. Not a lot of people get the chance to just play for them even.
So you will be a junior next year.
Yes.
Are you playing in any ensembles, student ensembles at Western right now?
Besides I'm in the quartet? Symphonic band.
You're in symphonic band.
Yeah.
Oh, how was your concert last night?
It was great. Yeah, it went really well.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't get to do a lot of work with orchestra because I'm a saxophone player, but this has been a really great experience because that's something new for me. I've never played with an orchestra before.
Wow. Did you expect to be one of the winners of the competition?
No, I really didn't expect it, but I mean, I'm really grateful for the opportunity. I think that it must be so hard to judge between all the different instruments. Like, I mean, I don't even understand how they can begin to do that because it's just so many different styles and instruments all out. Like,
yeah.
For one competition, it's must be really hard to judge.
Yeah. And it's usually, I mean, traditionally, it's weighted toward a violinist or a pianist. But here at Western, the wind players often prevail. And percussion. I remember Amber Feltrin a few years ago was a timpanist who won the competition. Did a great job.
Yeah, that was wonderful.
Will, I haven't paid much attention to you since the beginning of the interview. And you're the one here with the most experience at in education at school, and you just have a look on your face like you have intelligent things to say.
I'm not so sure about that, but we'll see.
What does a performing career look like for you? I know there's a lot of options these days.
Yeah, actually this summer I was fortunate enough to join the American Wind Symphony Orchestra as a their principal trombonist and a featured soloist with a group as well. So that's definitely a route that I'm looking into, performance, but I'm actually more so looking at university level teaching. Teaching has always been my passion, something that I've really gravitated towards. And, you know, if I can pick up some performing, you know, some regional symphonies or something like that alongside of my my teaching, that would be great.
Interesting discussion you might have with Dr. Robert White, who joined the university after a career of professional performing, but now is a professor, you know, trumpet at Western, and he's come maybe a different path. I don't know.
Yeah, Dr. White, I really respect his trumpet playing and his teaching. He works with the USO brass during sectionals, just because of his experience with orchestra. And it's just something to model a career after, for sure. He's definitely had a lot of success orchestrally and educationally as well. I've been actually meaning to get with him, you know, privately and see if, you know, work on excerpts, talk about pedagogy, something like that, you know, anything really, because he's just a wealth of knowledge that is waiting to be tapped.
When you say teaching, I pictured you in front of an ensemble conducting for some reason, and that's not necessarily what that meant.
No, but definitely part of the, you know, running a collegiate trombone studio is doing a trombone choir. It's ensemble that's pretty heavily written for, definitely coming to fruition now in the 21st century.
Yeah.
A lot of unique and diverse sounds can come out of that. So I could definitely see myself with a baton in my hand in the future, but, you know.
Okay. Well, we're getting close to the end of the hour, and we're going to feature the Ballade by Tomasi as our next musical break. I still like a few words from you on what your summers are looking like. I think we just heard from Will here. And could you tell us again, Evan, what you're planning for the summer? And
Well, for the summer, I'm going to be going to two festivals, the first of which is the Splice Institute held here, which I'm really excited about. I'll be doing it for my second year as a performer. And then actually, I just have to just make sure everything's in place, but I should be able to travel to New York City this summer to study with Sandbox Percussion for their seminar for the second year in a row as well.
Gosh, that sounds really intense.
It'll be good.
Why? I think of new music as being just so much harder than the stuff we are trained to read easily and understand the harmonies of.
Mm-hmm.
How long does it take as a new music aficionado to start feeling like, I can see what's going on the page?
I guess it depends on which way it goes. I had a piece, it depends on if you're moving more towards extended techniques and kind of more of a, like, getting every particular color possible out of the instrument versus pieces where you might be doing more avant-garde things. Like, I played one piece that involved bowing the vibraphone, bending pitches on it. Very difficult to get just right. The actual, and it doesn't take too long to understand the technique so much as just getting them to sound the right way. That's the real uphill battle. And then on the other hand, there are other pieces where the sound might be easy to find, but getting the character of it is very hard. I actually played a piece that was a satire on commercial satisfaction. Like, a lot of people find a lot of satisfaction and just owning things. So there was a satirical piece on like unboxing a new package in the mail, and that one was actually very easy to learn, very easy to play, but it was really hard to get it into the right character. So I think it's context sensitive, but it's, I think it just requires the first step, and then the rest of it, you just eventually start to just love it.
And Andrew, what are you up to this summer?
Definitely a lot of working. It's hard to work during the school year as a music student, so definitely I'll be doing a lot of working over the summer, and also I really want time to just kind of like reflect on what I've learned so far. Everything's been going by so fast, like between the performance stuff, and then I mentioned the music technology stuff. I'm still really new to that. I need some time to like just reflect on that and kind of learn it a little bit better.
Yeah,
because it's hard to just keep up with all that stuff during the school year.
Repetition really pays off when you
definitely.
Working with technology. It just takes time. Yeah, but that's exciting. Well, I guess I have to say goodbye. You all have to get back to classes and practicing. And we do have time left to hear the Ballade by Henri Tomasi. But first, Andrew Keating and Will Ford and Evan Leffert, thank you for joining me this morning. And, you know, I wish we had another excuse, but have a great concert to do it again, but have a great concert on Sunday. It's at 3:00 in Miller Auditorium, the University Symphony Orchestra, with the three soloists, all led by Bruce Uchimura. Any final thoughts on the show?
No, hope you enjoy it.
Yeah,
please come out.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks again, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.